In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Blessed Epiphany. I think we got a new year in there as well, didn't we? We got a lot of things to celebrate today. Thanks be to God. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Wasn't it great having Father Frederick with us for a whole week? 2 weeks? Maybe a little bit longer? Those of you who didn't get to meet him, you missed out. You missed out. Father Frederick is great. At the back of the church, just want to remind you that there are books called St. Lucy Prayer Books, which were composed by Father Frederick Gruber. They are your gift. So if you didn't pick one up, if you need one there, Gracie, we got one for you as well. Don't worry, you're part of our family as well. I'd like to point you out. But we have those for each of you. Sadly, they're all only in English. Father Frederick doesn't really know Spanish at all, but we made it through, didn't we? Through interpretation, thanks be to God. So he really enjoyed his time with us, and if you want to find out more information on him, see all those beautiful, beautifully done prayer brochures that are all over, they're from him. They're from him, so make use of them. Make use of them. Mothersforpriest.org is his website, and he'd be happy to hear more from you, and just to know that you're praying the prayers, which he spent so much time collecting and beautifully formatting to increase your prayer life, your relationship with our Lord. Let's see. I think there's one other thing that I have to announce. Oh, yes. In the back of the church and in the bulletins, you should find a beautiful insert, which is here, to be able to take this. What does this talk about? You know, there's a lot of darkness that's going on within our world, within our culture, particularly here within the state of New Mexico, that's only intensified since November. But there were some bright spots in Hobbs, New Mexico, and now in particular in Clovis, New Mexico. Because if you were paying attention where Eliel lives, the city council just passed a ordinance that created Clovis as a sanctuary city for the cause of life, for the cause of life. And so granted that we have this upcoming Saturday, which has been planned for a long period of time, a pro-life event called Voices for the Voiceless. And it'll begin on Saturday the 14th at Sacred Heart Church at 8:30 a.m. And it'll go on all day long. They'll provide food and speakers and great things going on all throughout in a holy hour with lunch concluded at 1 p.m. Everything is there within within this little flyer that we have here to take there. I'd appreciate it if you could all be a part of this, because this is a great thing to be able to do, just to be boldly and joyfully for life as it means to be as Catholics, and to come out in force to support what is going on there with the Franciscan Friars, the Renewal, with Dominic Davis, and many others who are there. And lastly, it's one announcement that should come as a surprise to all of us who are here, except for me. Because I'm giving it. But the Archbishop has granted me 6 weeks of sabbatical beginning Monday. Beginning Monday. So 6 weeks of sabbatical. What does sabbatical mean? It's a time away. The canon law provides every 7 years a priest an opportunity to go away for a period of time. Sometimes sabbatical would be a year or 6 months or 3 months. I got 6 weeks, and that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. 6 weeks of just being in a monastery, in fact, is what I'll be doing, and just praying just like the monks do there. And so given that, I would have told you earlier, but until Tuesday, I didn't have cover for all the weekends. Thanks be to God. Father Franklin stepped up, and he just failed to call me back earlier when I asked him long ago, or else I would have shared it with you then. But we have Mass every weekend. In addition to that, we'll have Mass on the next 3 Mondays, and then Father Stephen Imbarato will be with us. He's a very pro-life priest, and so you should be knocking on his doors and asking him how to set up more pro-life work here within our parish. He will be here from the last day of January through the 13th of January. He'll be here with us during that time to be able to spend with us and make sure we have Mass through the entirety of that time. So we will have priest coverage on all those moments to be able to be here and to be giving us Mass during those times to visit with them as well. I will not be able to be reached personally during that time because I will hand my cell phone to the abbot and he will hand it back to me, God willing, when he finally lets me out and he unlocks the door and lets me go. So it'll be a great time of prayer. And so even though you won't be able to share with me probably all the prayer requests that you would like during that time, let's do it the Catholic way. Tell your guardian angel. And I'll tell my guardian angel every morning to be attentive to what it is that as I pray all day long and as I go to Mass, to recall your particular needs to those moments. So that'll be a great grace for us. Then returning on the 20th of February, which will be 2 days before Ash Wednesday, I'll be back here again. It'll be a great time to be able to pray for each of you who are here. We'll have the coverage as well that'll begin soon. So everything will be going quite well to be able to have them. Please treat, as I know you will, our good priests who will be covering during that time very well. You got the best. You're privileged to be able to have these good priests who are here. Father Imbarato coming all the way from Florida to come and to be with us. He's an amazing priest as well. Good. Pay attention to the words of our first reading. Isaiah prophesies in there. He says what? He says, arise. Arise and shine, for your light has come to you, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Then you shall be radiant, and what you see, your heart shall throb and even overflow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. The Feast of the Epiphany, which is the culmination of the 12 days of Christmas. This is the culmination of those 12 days today that we celebrate. The arrival of the three kings, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. The three of them coming to do worship and honor to Christ the King and the little child marks this event. The Christmas mysteries, though, they aren't concluded until February 2nd, the Feast of Candlemas, the presentation of the Lord, the presentation of the Lord, the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But what is Epiphany? What is this feast all about? It is a festival or a feast of light. That's what it is, of light coming into the world. The prophet Isaiah speaks about it so beautifully in that first reading of the words which I gave you there. It says what? It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What is this light? Jesus Christ is this light. And he plants that light into us, making us sons and daughters of light when we accept him at holy baptism. This is the light. Christ is the light who has come into the world, what we celebrate at this time. These wise men journey from the east. It's just the beginning of God's procession, of God's movement forward and outward into the world, into this dark and dreary world that does not know who Christ is. This journey of the Magi begins by finding Christ. And then they come to adore him. They worship him. They bend their knee. They prostrate down before the Christ child and bless him with the gifts. But even before the wise men came, who came to adore Christ? That's right, the shepherds. The shepherds came that Christmas night when the angels spoke to them and they heard on high. These simple poor souls living nearby in the fields went out to the cave and there recognized that in that little babe, Christ the Lord, Emmanuel, has come to be with us. But now today we celebrate wise men from all over the world coming to find Christ. The great and the small, the kings and slaves, men of every culture, pagans, they're coming now. These men from the east were only the first foreigners to go and to discover to find Christ Jesus, that he is truly Lord. But many others have followed in their footsteps throughout the centuries, like you and I, coming as foreigners to find a newborn king in Christ. The reading from Ephesians speaks of it. What does it say there? St. Paul reminds you and I, saying the Gentiles are what? They are co-heirs. They are members of the same body. They are co-partners in the promise of Jesus Christ given to us in the gospel. What does it say to us? It says that our God is a God who wishes, who wants to be known. Our God is a God who wishes to be loved. Our God is a God who wants to be served by all people of every nation, all throughout the world, for all periods of time. Because he wants a people who walk in darkness, those who dwell in the shadow of death, to both see and live in his glorious light for all eternity, now unto eternity. This is the good news that our Catholic Church has ceaselessly proclaimed throughout the 2,000 years of its history when she began ushering forth from the wounded side of Christ, as our image of divine mercy reminds us at each glance we look. The gospel reveals to you and I that these God-seeking pagan kings gave to our Lord what? Three gifts. You remember what those gifts are? That's right. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did he give these gifts? They gave these gifts first, gold, recognizing that this Christ child is a king. Is a king, and so he to him belongs all the gold. They gave him frankincense. What is that? But it is incense. Incense that is burned in worship, that he is God. This child is a God worthy of worship, just as you see our sanctuary so often filled with beautiful and sweet-smelling incense, worshiping the God who is adored here. They give him myrrh. And what is myrrh? A spice which prepares the body for burial, so that the stench of death may not be smelled, but this pure myrrh springs forth something of greatness, of a life, of a goodness of that soul. Because this child who is born here is born unto death, to die, to give his life, so that each of us who put our trust in him might find salvation. This is our Lord. You and I can marvel at the great courage, that great faith that caused these men, these wise men, these kings to go off beyond themselves and to go and pursue God at such a great price. Realize that they left everything behind, their homes, everything that they possessed, in order to travel for months, yea, even for years, just to discover this joy of Christ's light bursting onto the scene. They gave this poor child elaborate and extravagant gifts, but in giving of these gifts, they were able to receive so much more than they could give. In fact, if they had taken all the riches of their entire homeland, their entire nations, to offer the Lord, it would be paltry and compared to what they received. They received an intrepid joy that is able to carry them throughout the whole of their lives. A light, really an epiphany, that illuminated all their darkness, not just in their day, but all the way into the very end of their days. So when you and I come here to Mass on this Epiphany Day in 2023, we can begin to look at ourselves and ask ourselves a question, maybe even to try to compare ourselves to these wise men who journeyed at great cost and did so much. We could say, well, look, I've always been Catholic. I've always had the sacraments at my fingertips. I've heard these stories proclaimed from this very pulpit over and over and over again throughout the whole of my life. And yet, when I come here today, I still feel empty. We can begin to look at our talents, look at our abilities, look at our financial position and say, well, what gift can I bring to adore the Christ child? I know that I'm far from God. I know that I don't live my life right. And so my hands are empty. In fact, I might not even know why I'm here today other than habit. Let me share with you a legend that comes from the time of Christ, an ancient legend that speaks about that first Christmas night when our Lord was born. Who were those first ones that visited? Do you remember them? The shepherds. So when those shepherds heard those angels calling on high, glory to God and the highest peace to men of goodwill, they hurried from that stable, each of them. He hurried from that place in the fields, rather, unto the stable, unto the creche, to discover what the angels had spoken about. Each of them rummaging through whatever it is that they had that they might have a gift to bring. Each one brought what they had. Some brought fruits, maybe that they produced from themselves, or things from their own lunches or their provisions to be able to make it through that night. Others had a precious item that they held to themselves to give them courage through those lonely evenings. As all were presenting their gifts, they one by one would go before the Holy Family to give them something, but there was one shepherd who had nothing to give. He was extremely poor. He had no gift of himself. And so as the others were competing for attention to offer their gifts to this Holy Family that was before them, he stepped back. He hung out around the edge of the cave. He was embarrassed, hoping that nobody would even notice him, that he didn't have a gift to give. St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, they found it difficult to receive all the gifts that were being piled upon them. How could they be able to carry them all in their hands that they did there, especially Mary, who was charged with holding that baby Jesus in her arms, in those swaddling clothes, which was all that she could cover him with. And she looked up, and she did see that shepherd at the edge of the cave with nothing in his hands, empty. And she called upon him to come forward. And as he approached with a sheepish look upon his face, she put the baby Jesus into his arms. The shepherd was immediately aware that he had received something that he didn't deserve to have. He looked at those hands that he had there that seemed to him always to be empty, always lacking, always having nothing, which now had become the cradle of God. He felt loved. He felt privileged. He felt honored to be able to bear such a great gift. And then overcoming that embarrassment that formerly caused him to move to the back of the cave, he began to show this Jesus, this child, to others. He realized that he could not keep this gift, which was indeed given just for him, to himself, because it was the gift of gifts. Let's not begin today by looking at our own abilities or inabilities, the things that we see through our own eyes, but as Catholics, we have to begin with looking at Jesus and his grace, which he gives, because he is our Savior. That's what it means to be Jesus, he who saves. Instead of contemplating our own weakness and our emptiness, contemplate instead this child. Contemplate him. Look upon that sweet face of his. Recognize in him something that is great for us there. Allow yourself to be caught up in the tender love of so precious, meek, and mild a child. To let ourselves see that tender love with which he pours out upon us. And if we contemplate that, then you and I won't have any excuse for letting ourselves not be loved by him. He seeks you and I out exactly when we have nothing, when we feel like we're nothing. Because he sees all of eternity, because he's God. He can see all of eternity and sees it as being less perfect without us being with him forever. That's why he came. For each of you, the divine child, this infant king, was willing to die. And that's the reason why he entered into the world. So whatever goes wrong within your lives, whatever sin feels like it keeps us from at a distance, maybe at arm's length from Christ and his church, whatever tragedies exist within the world and only seem to come and to come and to come, it will no longer be able to be an excuse to keep you and I from coming to Jesus if we begin with Jesus' initiative first to come to us in order to save us. When you and I are faced with the extravagant love of Jesus, a love which is of utter meekness, of closeness, and of tenderness, What excuse can still remain within ourselves? What can keep us from the love of Christ Jesus? On this Epiphany, the question is this. It's, do I allow myself to be loved by God? Do I abandon myself to his love that comes to save me? You see, God is restless. He is restless. He looks for a people willing to catch this unrest of his, just like a virus, to let his passion be caught by us, which is for us. He is searching for a people who carry within themselves searching hearts, and at the same time to be open to being touched by God's own search for us. This was the task of the first Catholics, from the very beginning, to receive God's unrest for man, and then to bring God back to man, to offer God as a gift back to man. This is the task that is entrusted to you and I here, 2,000 years later, as the successors of those first Catholics. To let yourselves be touched by God's unrest for souls, so that God's longing for man may be fulfilled through the witness of your own lives, having been touched by Christ. Our Lord Jesus, he's here. He wants you to come forward and to hold him. And then for you to show him to others, just like that shepherd who had empty hands, but then was given Christ, and then realized that he couldn't keep that Christ to himself. Today is the right day to draw near to the creche, the right day to come close to the manger, the right day to approach Jesus Christ, the infant Lord. There's no more perfect time to approach Jesus and just to come to him and say, thank you. Thank you for all you do for me. Thank you for allowing me, empty as I am, to come to you. Let's receive that gift of Jesus again in order to become a gift just like Jesus is a gift. Jesus shows us this very thing this afternoon, and he doesn't wait until you and I are good and perfect so that he might love us. But rather, he gave himself to us freely, exactly in the moment when you and I were less than good. At Mass, at the end of Mass this afternoon, all of us are going to have the opportunity to come forward and to adore the baby Jesus just like we did on Christmas morning. To come forward and to give him that touch, to give him that love, to embrace him, maybe even with both hands, to hold on to our Lord. Don't let anything hold you back from coming to Jesus. No matter what is going on in you, dear brother, dear sister, no matter what is happening within you, even if your hands seem empty, if it feels like you're nothing, if you think that your heart is poor, particularly in relationship to the love of God, this afternoon is exactly for you. The grace of God, it has appeared from on high. The Epiphany of God wants to shine forth so brightly in your life. Just accept it. And let the light of Christ shine forth in you and through you. It is then that Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled, not 2,000 years ago, but even today here. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Then your heart shall throb, yea, it shall overflow. At the coming of the Lord, here, today, in his Epiphany for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.